Online poker probably wouldn't exist if it weren't for gambling addicts. People don't make money playing versus good players in poker. They make money by finding weak players who have gambling problems and by just ripping them off. Only around 15 to 25% of online poker players are going to win. You will eventually play outside of your means, and the likelihood that you will lose all of your money is almost 100%.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Gleb, and we have a really interesting conversation that we're going to be having. He is a professional poker coach, but we're going to be answering the question, is poker gambling? And also, can you develop a gambling problem from playing poker? Gleb, thanks so much for joining.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to be here and spread some awareness about gambling.
I really appreciate it, man. And, you know, this is going to be one of those conversations where there might be some questions coming out from me, just from my perspective, you know, being in recovery from a gambling addiction. But I'm really thankful that you wanted to come on and answer what might be hard-hitting questions is what I'm getting at. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why don't you tell people about you? What made you want to join today?
Yeah, so I've been following your content for some time. Personally, I am a professional poker coach, so I have a bit of a different perspective than a lot of people you might have on the podcast. I have definitely seen some things in the poker world that make me a little bit uncomfortable. I was playing professionally for some time, and I know how ruthless the space can be, and I'm really hoping to just spread a bit more positivity and help people be a little bit more mindful about the effects that they might have on others.
And I really value that because a lot of people in your position would be drawn to selling the dream that this is for everyone. This is something that anyone should be doing. This is a great thing because you would make more money in the process. What was the thought behind that? Why are you comfortable sharing, you know, the negative sides of your industry?
It's definitely a tough question. I just feel a little bit conflicted in my day-to-day working in poker because I know that a lot of money that professional poker players make does come from gambling addicts. That's something that I'm sure we're going to talk about at length in today's call. Like I mentioned, I just really want to sort of dispel some myths there are in the space. I know watching your content that there's a lot of people who believe that poker is different from gambling. There's a lot of people who think sports betting is different from gambling. And to be fair, I've never done sports betting myself, but if it's anything like poker, it's still going to be 95% gambling and maybe 5% something else. And a lot of people who start playing poker, the money comes from somewhere, right? So a lot of people are going to still lose in the long term, and it's not very good, especially when you consider a lot of other aspects about playing poker.
Well, why don't we start with your own experience with poker, with gambling, and maybe with problem gambling? What was your early experience like in the poker world?
Yeah, so I started playing poker when I was 16 years old, online poker when I was 16 years old. I remember I would play in high school, so I had a little notebook, right, a little laptop, and I would play on a really shady poker site called csgopoker.com using the skins, right? So Valve hooked me onto it, and I lost like $50. It wasn't anything big. It was definitely more just something to pass the time. I wasn't really happy in school, and that competitive aspect was something that was instilled in me from a young age. So it made it naturally made sense that I would stumble across poker. I considered myself to be a smart kid. I had a really big ego at the time. So I thought, hey, I'm going to play poker. I'm going to beat everyone. I'm going to make a bunch of money, do all that sort of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I was playing for very, very small amounts of money. It was never a problem. When I turned 19, which is the legal gambling age in Canada, I got a PokerStars account and I started betting a lot more. I didn't have a lot of money at the time. The money that I put in, I lost, but it wasn't a significant amount of money at all, right? It was just a few hundred dollars. But I wanted to win, so I put a lot of work into improving. COVID hit, and around that time, I started taking poker a lot more seriously. I had a lot of time in my hands. And I figured I'm just going to go ahead and study and give it my all and try to move up in stakes. And that is exactly what happened to me. So I was fairly successful. I wasn't as successful as a lot of people who I know, but I did achieve, I think, personal success, or what felt like personal success at the time, where I was actually able to move up in stakes and feel comfortable and feel like a winning player against other good players. and make a little bit of money doing that. It is something that I wanted to pursue as a career full time, but fairly quickly, I think I started to realize just how negative the game is for your mental health, especially when you're playing it professionally for a very, very long time. I can only remember very clearly a few moments in my poker career where I didn't feel either too good or too bad, if that makes sense. I was gambling for maybe 4 to 8 hours a day. I know a lot of people who gamble a lot more than that. They just play poker all day, and I'm sure that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later on. But in poker, I always say to myself, you never break even. You either win a lot of money or you lose a lot of money, just like any other form of gambling, I think. On the days where I would sit down and I would play my best and I would come out on top, I would feel really good, like I was on top of the world. And I did have a bit of an ego at the time. There's a huge competitive aspect to poker, which I'd love to talk about a bit later. It would feel like I was the champ, right? I was just the absolute king. It was really because I was dealt better cards than my opponents. And then you flip that to the other side, right? You have a big losing day and you lose a shit ton of money, despite the fact that you played really, really good. It made me feel like I was the worst poker player in the world. And it was very, very much tied to my ego. And no matter how often you tell yourself, you know, it's just variance, you just got a bad day, you had a bad few days, you had a bad week even, you're still going to feel incredibly, incredibly, incredibly bad. And that's just due to the nature of the game. I would take breaks from playing. I wouldn't play every single day. But the time that I spent not playing, I would just be thinking about playing. I really had to stop playing poker for a prolonged period of time. And I have transitioned over to coaching, which is... It was such a nice thing for it to happen in retrospect, for me to make that switch. But very clearly, I can see now that I did have gambling addiction. Probably not to the same extent that a lot of other people had, but I was not clear-headed at all, one bit.
Yeah, as you were describing that story, a couple of things jumped out. The first, before we dive too deep into anything, what part of Canada are you from?
I'm originally from Ontario, and Ontario legalized online gambling quite recently.
Got it. I asked because you didn't sound like you were from Montreal, but one of my first experiences with legal gambling was at the, I believe they call it the playground in Montreal. I can't remember. It's the Montreal casino, but it was playing poker there. And when I was 19, that was a similar fixation that I had. It was like, I want to get in there and I want to be the guy. I want to prove that I know this game. And you know, you studied it a lot more than I did, in fairness, but I had the same thoughts. And it was like, can I use this to conflate ego and success? If I win, am I successful? And I made that a huge aspect of my life. Well, as it relates to the story that you told about your own poker play, that's definitely something that I can relate to. As I mentioned, one of my earliest experiences was playing poker in Montreal. And I want to tell you a little bit about that game because the story itself is just like a perfect example of knowing the strategy, doing what you perceive to be the right decision and ending up losing, which is the reality in the short term. It was essentially that I was 19 years old. I went and it was maybe eight people at the table, but it was Texas Hold'em. And by the river, by the last card, for those that don't know poker, I had four of a kind and I had four twos. And I was like, there's no way I can lose this. Like I easily have to win it. And I lost to four eights. And it's like the rarity of getting a hand like that in a table where there's eight people, I have to imagine it's statistically quite small. And then getting beat by the same style of hand, you know, in that it's just like one of those early memories I have where I thought it's just bad luck. I'm going to figure this out. And then I just kept going down that rabbit hole for so long with this fixation of wanting to win everything back. I played poker in a couple different places around the world, and I've seen the same couple caricatures of people in the room. And I'm wondering if you can remember any types of people, but people that portray intelligence, people that portray wealth, but are really down to their last couple dollars. And after a loss, you start to see that as they're beginning to show cracks of reality, like, they start getting mad at the dealer. Like these kinds of things are obvious signs of a gambling problem to me. Do you have any memories of when you were playing of people around you that kind of fit that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100% I do. Actually, quite recently, I wanted to do a bankroll challenge for my YouTube channel and go from low stakes to high stakes again. I quit it because it just takes far, 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 far too long to do that. But when I was playing lower stakes there, there was one player at the table. I don't know if they were drunk, but they were very clearly having a difficult time and they were quite chatty. So maybe they were intoxicated. And I won a big hand versus them. They got unlucky. I had a better hand. They had a strong hand. It sounded like it just completely broke them. Instead of, you know, just chatting a little bit here and there, and they sounded very, very defeated. Like, this is really bad luck. Like, what's happening with me? They were saying a lot of things like, I'm so much better than you. I should be playing super high stakes right now. And I just offered to give them their money back, right? I was very understanding with them. I suspected that they were really having a difficult time. And as somebody who has gone through big periods of losses before in the past, I know precisely how bad it feels. This person was talking about money a lot and they were asking a lot of personal questions about finance. So I suspect that they were not in very good shoes. I offered them very quickly to hop on it to a different table and just give them all of their money back right away, but they wouldn't accept it. They said that they didn't want to do that. Honestly, like, if there's one reason why I would never want to play poker as much as I have in the past, it would be because of that and players like those. Especially playing online, that's where the money comes from. Only around 15 to 25% of online poker players are going to win because the house takes a cut. People don't make money playing versus good players in poker. They make money by bum hunting, by finding weak players who have gambling problems, by sitting in the best seats next to them, and by just ripping them off. And I've had discussions when I was actually playing professionally with other poker players and semi-professionals to maybe not do that, right? To just avoid that process, right? Because it's not worth it. I haven't really met too many people that agreed with me.
What do you think the solution would be for that? Is it into the hands of the casino or the card house to ban those players?
It's in the hands of everybody. So it's in the hands of the casinos to recognize when people have problems and to ban that. I really hate what casinos do by enabling this sort of thing. But it's also in the hands of the players to not enable the addiction. It doesn't matter if they're in the room, if they're going to gamble. You want to act in a way that you would want other people to treat you. If you had a gambling problem, you wouldn't want people to take advantage of you. So don't take advantage of people who have gambling problems.
You switched from playing to coaching. When did that transition happen?
It happened for a few reasons. First reason is, well, it really did have to do with the negative mental aspect of it. There have been a number of times in my professional playing career where I felt like I was just living on edge. When you go through a downswing in poker, right, when you go through a prolonged period of losing money, it feels as bad as the money you lose, if that makes sense, right? So if you're losing just a few hundred dollars, I mean, money's like subjective, right? Mm-hmm. It's all relative to how much money you have. If I were to lose a few hundred dollars, I wouldn't care about it too much. But at one point, I remember losing more money than I had left in my bank account by a significant chunk. And I had to go through these swings in order to make meaningful profit, or profit that I could live off of. Because in poker, you are winning far, far, far less money than you are risking, especially when you're playing online poker. And that happened enough times to the point that I said, okay, I need to start supplementing my income with doing a bit more coaching. I had some coaching opportunities, and then I jumped on board with that, not to fully stop playing poker professionally, but just to have something reliable coming in so that I don't feel incredibly stressed out month over month. Like, if I'm going to make it, if I'm ever going to see that money again, you know, eventually you will, but it can take months, you know, it can take such a long time. But switching over to coaching, I rediscovered the passion that I had for the game that I had lost when I was playing poker professionally for such a long time. You have to be clear-headed. And when you're gambling 6 to 8 hours a day and you need to do that just to recover from those downswings, just to make a profit that you can live off of, it really dulls you. You don't feel like the same person and you don't have that same enjoyment that you have for the game. So switching over to coaching brought me a lot of joy, and I decided to make the full jump shortly after. Wow. Second of all, this is something that people are really going to hate me for talking about, but the state of online poker right now is not great, especially if you're playing from the States. There are a lot of bots that are playing on popular clubs such as Ignition Poker. I don't like calling them out by name, but they're a really shady platform. It's unregulated, and they've done nothing to solve the bot issue that they have there. So chances are, honestly, they have bots on GG Poker, as far as I know, which is the biggest poker club in the world. Club games, which are quite popular in the States as well, might have bots on them. And the bots are designed to take money from regs, from winning players, and then feed them back to the fish. And then the operators make a lot of money because they make money from rake. And by getting people to play a lot more, they make a lot more rake. Therefore, they make a lot more profit.
So you're saying essentially that the platform in this case is actively trying to get inexperienced players addicted to playing.
So Club GG, it's software, but it's not like a poker room. Mm-hmm. The software allows people to create their rooms, and the operators of those rooms are not known to be incredibly honest people. Mm-hmm. In some cases, I've heard them just outright ban people who win more than a certain amount of money per week.
So then essentially they are trickling the money down so that more people, a larger quantity of people, are continuing to play so that they continue to collect rake.
Absolutely.
Wow. That is,
it's really shady.
Yeah. When you were feeling this negative mental state towards poker when you were playing professionally, would you say that that was a commonly held feeling amongst professional players, that there was burnout, frustration, feelings of negative mental health?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of poker players would share similar stories. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a community of people who are taking this game really seriously and have a big ego attachment to this game, it turns into a really toxic environment where nobody talks about it. Everyone just has like this work yourself to death mentality that I think is absolutely brutal for even professional poker players.
If you know how negative it can be on someone, how do you reconcile coaching people to enter that environment?
So I'm currently coaching people who are playing professionally or semi-professionally, mm-hmm. and I want to do good for my clients, right? I want them to improve and to play better. I'm not necessarily contributing to the most amount of good there. I personally really love the game, and I just don't have a good answer for that question, besides the fact that I don't feel 100% perfect with it.
And I think that most problem gamblers, myself included, would tell you that we loved gambling. We loved the game that we were playing. You know, it's like, I don't hate gambling. A lot of people watch my content and they think I hate gambling because I'm telling you, you can get addicted to it. I wouldn't have gotten addicted to it if I didn't genuinely love doing it. And I think the money aspects are obviously what leads to the problems in life. It leads to the stress, the realness. The game itself, it's just a game. It's an arbitrary set of rules that you can strategize, that you can love. It's the negative consequences that came with it for me that kind of is why I don't do it, obviously. So you said that during the times that you weren't playing poker, you were thinking about it.
Yeah.
Did you ever attend a support group meeting for problem gambling?
No.
One of the qualifying things is like, during the times that you are not gambling, are you preoccupied with gambling? Being like a major red flag of a gambling problem. Do you think it ever reached a point for you where you weren't just in a negative mental health space, but you were like dependent on playing to feel okay?
I think so. I remember one time right before I was taking a visit to see my family, I had a pretty big downswing on one of the online poker sites. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to the local card game and I'm going to win it back. So I go there, I have a bad day, and I lose some money. But like, it's not a problem, you know, every single day can go either way, up or down. But the thing is, the way I handled it was just not normal, right? I was like, I have to go here. I can't wait till I get back. You know, I have to drive out here. I have to get as much cash as I can. I just needed to, I guess, feel okay. Mm-hmm. It was pretty shitty. And I look back on it and I have compassion for myself, so I can recognize the reasons why I did it and not judge myself for it. It's probably gambling addiction.
To dive just a little bit deeper on that topic, do you think that you were playing solely for the purpose of winning? Or do you think that there was maybe emotional aspects to the reasoning that you were playing?
It's a good question. I think that there were emotional aspects to it for sure, but it's difficult to differentiate and figure out which one was the predominant influence. If I had to rationally guess, I would say it was probably the money.
That's one of the things that keeps me away from gambling now, is being in a better financial position, knowing that going back to gambling would be a disproportionate risk to what I have now. And that sounds similar to what you went through then. The elephant in the room question, because I know we were going to get to it at some point, is poker gambling?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think there's any way around it. It's just the way that your brain works with it. I think you would have to be on some next level monk NZT pills from that one movie to overcome the natural thing that poker does to your brain.
Can we talk about something real for a minute? If your gambling has started to feel less like fun and more like stress, trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say, just one more bet, or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Evive, a sponsor of today's video. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket, someone who actually understands what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just practical tools and genuine support when those challenging moments hit. Download Evive now and you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or a limited version, but the complete platform, completely free. Because Evive believes that everyone deserves access to support that works for them. Download Evive today and take the first step towards changing your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries. I remember doing one of those poker solvers. It was a part of a course that I had from, I can't remember the name of the guy. His name was Doug. He was a younger guy. Yes, Doug Polk. He had a poker academy, and I did that when I was in my gambling addiction. I remember feeling like I was learning all the technique. I was learning what I needed to do. Then I'd go do it and I'd lose. You mentioned you think it's 95% luck is what you said originally versus 5% skill?
I think so. I mean, the best poker players will maybe have like a 51% chance to like 55% chance of having a winning day. I think 55% is like way on the extreme.
I guess a good question might be, what are the common signs that someone selling an online poker course are trying to scam you?
I do know a lot of poker coaching material is just meant to be something that you can digest and you can feel good digesting it. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily information that's going to help you win immediately. Not to say that the content's bad, but definitely the content is oversold and it's marketed as like the end-all solution when it's probably far from it.
Okay, noting that throughout your consulting, you're seeking to help people play theoretically perfect poker, play mathematically correct, and make the best decisions that give you the best chance, and noting that it can still come down to luck in the end, what makes it such that a problem gambler would never be able to be a successful poker player?
If you're just obsessed with playing, it's never going to work. Much more work goes in off the tables than goes on the tables. The risk is just so high, even for people who don't have gambling problems. Poker is very much about risk management. It's probably as much, if not even more so, about risk management as it is about good technical skills. People who have gambling problems are much, much more likely to gamble outside of their means, right? They will aggressively move up in stakes when they don't have the bankroll to do that. If you have a problem gambling, you will eventually play outside of your means, and the likelihood that you will lose all of your money is almost 100%.
One thing that comes to my mind is like, you ever play chess?
Yes, competitively as a kid. That's where this started.
Well, then you know. Okay, right. So when you play chess, you get a score. You have a score that correlates to your level of skill in that game. Poker, you're not correlated by score. You're correlated by buy-in. So when you're talking about tables, you're talking about you're playing where you can afford to play, not where your skill level dictates. Theoretically, you could find someone who's the best poker player in the world playing at a table for $2. Why not have an ELO for poker?
It's difficult to implement it. To beat poker players, you don't have to be the best one in the room. You have to be the best one at the table. The skill would just go up when you're sitting against worse opponents. If you're talking about like any sort of matchmaking system, the variance in poker is very extreme. I don't think people would enjoy playing the game if there was no money to be made there. Like if you just have the six best people in the world, why would they play 500,000 hands against each other? And that's how long it would reasonably take for you to figure out which one of those is the better player. Wow. It just really wouldn't work. Variance is absolutely crazy in poker.
So then without either gambling addicts, drunk players, or players who are in a bad mental state, poker games wouldn't theoretically be enjoyable to good players?
I think so. I mean, good players play against each other all the time, like heads-up players. Online poker probably wouldn't exist if it weren't for gambling addicts.
That's how I feel about casino games from a different perspective. That's how I feel about sports betting from a different perspective. But it comes down to, without the financial incentive to win very large, the enjoyability of just being good at poker doesn't cover the reasoning for playing.
Maybe for some people, not for me. I love studying the game, but when you play it, it can get repetitive very quickly, right? 500,000 hands of anything is going to wear people out pretty quickly.
So when people look at online poker, you say there's like lots of bots that are going into it that are essentially unbeatable. There are reasons that people are going to lose their money. Another reason people might lose money in online poker. What does that system really look like practically? And like, is there any regulation behind it at all?
The problem with cheating in online poker, whether it's a bot or it's just somebody who has software open, is that it's not illegal. Therefore, it has proliferated in the past few years. It depends where you're playing. So poker rooms are very different in terms of their reputation. The options available for online players are very, very bad unless you're in a handful of regulated states. I'm not going to say which platforms are good, but I can tell you which ones are bad. Stay away from Ignition Poker. Stay away from club games, including Club GG. GG Poker, I think, likely has bots on it. I've seen some people's findings that indicate that this is the case. Definitely stay away from shady sites. Stay away from poker in general, I would say. Stay away from gambling.
Well, Gleb, thank you so much for joining. For obvious reasons, we can't plug your coaching service here, but I appreciate
I wouldn't want that either.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking the time to shed some perspective on the realities of gambling and poker, because, you know, a lot of times when I talk about it, they're like, you were just a shit gambler, but you're a professional coach and you're telling people this is a way to lose money. So I really appreciate your insights. And to anyone that's watching that wants to hear a story of gambling addiction, check out this video. Let's keep getting better together one day at a time.